When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk.
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, SWAF Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm doing okay. It's nippy in here. What about you?
It's cold in here, isn't it? I'm feeling good about my wardrobe decisions that I've made over the last couple of days after I had my panic buy of jeans on Monday because I was wearing a pair of jeans that at one point when I first put them on, I thought were my wife's.
So they are of the tighter variety.
So when I put her jeans on, they were my jeans, but they were just so short. Like, I was sitting on the tube, and I could feel, like, my calves out on show, and I was like, I've got to get rid of these jeans. I cannot wear these. So I went into Primark in a panic.
So you legit... I didn't know this. You legit put on your wife's jeans.
No. They were my jeans, but they were just really short. I think they might have shrunk in the wash or something like that. But, you know, they were definitely my jeans. And so I went into Primark, and I went to go buy a pair of jeans, and I went in there, looked at a pair, and then it said, super skinny stretch. And I was like, well, that's not what I want. I've never worn a pair of skinny jeans in my life. Don't need those. So I put those back. Went to another area. Also said skinny jeans. And I was like, this is not what I need. Put those back. Those ones are £20. That's a ludicrous amount to spend on jeans.
No, it isn't.
No more than £10 is what I'm spending on jeans.
Oh, my God, Luke. You'll hear Luke's wildly off pricing list for clothes.
I don't think it is wildly off.
Maybe in the 60s before inflation happened.
You don't need to spend any more than £10 on a pair of jeans.
How quickly do you go through your clothes?
Not that quickly at all. £10 jeans will last.
Is that because you rough it out with frayed jeans and
with holes in the pockets and stuff like that? I will do that every now and again. Also, but you can also just sew those up. If you've got holes in your pockets, just sew them up, mates.
That's a good point. That's a noble Daniel Bryan way to live.
Yeah. So then eventually I bought a pair of jeans that were the right size and were not in a skinny jeans section. I was like, done very well there. Also bought myself some flannel shirts and a nice cardigan. And I was like, feeling pretty good about this. Got to work, went upstairs to the box and changed into these jeans. And it was only when I went to put them on that I found out that these were also skinny jeans.
They're in vogue.
The fourth area that I went to. I've never worn a pair of skinny jeans in my life. You feel them. You really feel that you're wearing them.
It's like wearing gloves for your legs.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I like it. I mean, I don't wear skinny jeans. I just wear jeans that fit.
How much do you spend on your jeans?
I think these were about 40 quid.
£40 on a pair of jeans?
From Uniqlo. Yeah, that's a normal amount to spend
really
on jeans
is
as an adult.
Not. That is not a normal
that's
amount to spend on jeans.
I'm a mid-range buyer. I'm not buying...
What? That's not mid-range, man. That's like is top end.
So these are unbranded. Well, you know, Uniqlo, but they're not like it's got Moschino running down the side or a crazy paint pattern.
Yeah.
But people will spend... If you're into looking...
You say people, idiots.
70 quid easy on a pair of jeans.
Ludicrous.
But I just go for basic jeans. But like, people spend hundreds of pounds on jeans.
Idiots spend hundreds of pounds on jeans because that is a literal waste of money.
How much do you spend on your trainers? Because you've got a... Or what about your T-shirts? Because I think you... it all depends on what item of clothing you value most. And you seem to be a t-shirt and trainers guy.
I'm very much a t-shirt guy. Mm. I would spend upwards of £15 on a t-shirt. Mm. But if it was more than £15, I would think it's a rip-off. I did spend £20 on a t-shirt once at a gig, and I did feel a bit ripped off by it. Mm. But I would, no more than 15.
Yeah, I think maybe your pricing structure is stuck in teenage allowance levels.
But you say that, but I'm able to buy t-shirts at the £15 mark, and I'm always buying t-shirts that get a lot of very good comments online.
Yeah.
So clearly, I'm not way off base with
that. Well, the slogan t-shirts are a different market, I would argue.
That are at a very reasonably priced market.
Yes.
Trainers, these were my new trainers I bought. These were £45, mm-hmm. which again I thought was quite a lot to pay for trainers.
How are they holding up in this weather?
They're all right, to be honest.
They look like they're going to absorb a lot of rain.
No. So I've got I've got slip-on trainers. First time I've ever bought slip-ons. I've only, since I was 13, I've only ever bought Converse All-Stars. It's the only trainer I've ever worn. Apart from when my parents got me a pair of Vans high tops.
They're not the ones I want, Mum!
Well, actually, they were, because they were Spider-Man and I wanted those ones. And they were very comfy. But I've only ever worn Converse All-Stars. I bought, every year, I would just buy the same pair of trainers again. I would just go into a shop and just say, I need these in a size 10, and buy those. Don't need to try them on. I already know they fit.
Steve Jobs.
They're literally the exact same trainers I bought last year. Same colour and everything.
You're taking out the decision... brain power,
yep.
And just wearing a black polo neck with jeans every day.
My wife said to me today, she was like, what trainers are you going to wear with your outfit? And I was like, I mean, I've only got one pair of trainers, so my trainers.
Oh man, you should sign up for Queer Eye for the straight guy. Just to see how they deal with your pricing structure for clothes.
But I'm not going to spend any more though, because I think that's a waste of money. Mm. There's so much better things you can spend money on than... really superficial things like clothes.
Like special editions of DVDs or Blu-rays that you're never going to watch properly.
I don't buy Blu-rays and DVDs anymore, thank you very much. I haven't bought a DVD in 2 years, maybe?
Oh, well, that's about 8 years behind me. how are the jeans working for you, though?
I actually quite like them.
Yeah, you're getting compliments? Has anyone spanked you on the bottom? Because I'll tell Laurie to stop if it's making you uncomfortable.
No. I mean, my wife will do, but she'll do that regardless of what I'm wearing, I suppose. You and Laurie have actually been quite complimentary of them. I had to ask you of, like, is this okay? Like, is this all right? I'm more in, like, up top. I like the flannel look. I'm a big fan of flannel. I might even buy more of this because there's more of it in Primark that I think is excellent.
I look weird in flannel.
Yeah, 15 quid, mate.
There you go.
Actually, no, sorry, this was £8.
You're making money.
This is £8, actually.
Wow.
That is...
You know, but like Primark, from an ethical standpoint...
It's dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. Which is why my wife and I actually did make a pact this year, which I did forget, which is why I ended up buying stuff from Primark, admittedly, in a panic, if you'll refer back to my original story, that we were only going to buy things from charity shops this year if we did need to buy new clothes, because, particularly Primark, very, very questionable in terms of its labour laws. Would you like a Rusev, hey?
Go for it.
So, I'm going to...
Is he heel Rusev, or where is he in his heel-face alignment?
Well, I'll let you be the judge of that, because although this is a Rusev hey, I don't think it could be classified as a Rusev hey.
Okay.
This person has emailed in before, and so their email name... is the Cosmic Anvil. Okay, so I read their name as the Cosmic Anvil in a previous email that they sent, and they just emailed saying, like, just saying my name's actually Marcelino Galabi. The Cosmic Anvil is my YouTube name only. Which I thought, that's fair enough.
Cool. And I mean, he's got two awesome names there to choose from.
But then he did not sign his name off, Marcelino, hence why I would have just read out what the email name was. But anyway, dear Luke, Ollie and Laurie, this is my Rusev hate about the time I met Chris Jericho.
Ooh.
So Fozzy, brackets, Chris Jericho's band, came to Australia where I live, and they came to my city, Adelaide. Anyway, I went to the concert with a friend. It was okay. There's a large church in Adelaide that had a big service with a special guest, and that guest was Chris Jericho. He spoke for a while, then enjoyed the rest of the service with his family. That's why I did not go up to meet him, since I did not want to disturb him, especially in church.
I think that's a good... I get it. I think you've got to actually meet them. But that is an interesting story. I wouldn't think of Chris Jericho...
as a churchman.
Yeah, going to enjoying a Sunday service in Australia he's travelling.
Judas is his mind. Where'd you go?
Maybe he's doing some research for other disciple-based songs.
Perhaps. Judas might legitimately be the one decent song Fozzy have ever made.
It's a great track.
Yeah, yeah. It's surprising, considering that they've released about 20 albums previous to that that have featured... no good tracks. So, you know, it's a step in the right direction, I guess.
They have carved out their niche of just background, fine sound.
It sounds like a WWE pay-per-view theme song in, like, the mid to late 2000s, where they were like, we don't care. Just give me any track.
What you got, Johnston?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Or, hey, band that no one has ever heard of, can we buy one of your songs for really cheap? And they were like, yeah, absolutely.
It was shortly before they went the Flo Rida Pitbull route.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. TNA also used to do that as well. They used to find really, really obscure bands that they could buy tracks from because they were just much cheaper to buy. And in fact, I think Fozzy were a couple of them. Anyway, that is all we've got time for in the intro portion of this podcast. We're going to be kicking off this little chittle-chottle about wrestling, talking about Daniel Bryan's brand new WWE Championship. Yes, it was quite an evocative title that Ollie suggested for this episode.
Factually correct, though.
Here's the show. Dig, dig, diggity, dig, diggity dog.
Quaking. Dig, dig. Where? ECW style, Shane Douglas from Eastern Championship Wrestling into Extreme Championship Wrestling, or I guess Medusa in WCW. Plenty of... There's a rich tradition of chucking old titles in the bin, or the trash can, for an American translation. Daniel Bryan comes out here, says, hey, I've been a bit of a hypocrite. I've been wearing a belt made of leather. I'm supposed to be a vegan. Puts the belt in the bin, and his new lackey, Rowan, not Eric, produces a wood-carved and 100% sustainable hemp-made belt. What a goddamn heel. Trying to save the world.
Well, I thought he was the ultimate heel because he came out for this promo wearing a t-shirt that said, no homophobia, no racism, no sexism, peace, love. And I was like, ugh, what a dick. What a total heel.
So we can't have the Attitude Era back, according to Daniel Bryan. This is outrageous.
He is the absolute worst.
It's remarkable that he has managed to create himself... into such a hated, derided figure.
Yeah.
I was explaining this to my... I told my lady partner, who's very into saving the planet, this morning...
That, oh, God. Yeah,
I know. Just awful to live with.
And you go to bed with her all the time.
I know, I hate it. I cry myself to sleep. We have nothing in common because I just want to burn the world.
And you dry your tears with slabs of bacon.
Yes, yeah. It gets really oily, but great skin.
Mm,
you reduces wrinkles.
It is amazing that people think you're the oldest one of this trio.
Yeah, I don't know what on a diet of pure bacon. but I've lost my train of thought now. I was telling my lady partner and I said that, you know, because you like this stuff. And they've gotten rid of the old belt because it was made of leather and he's a vegan. And they've got a recycled belt now. And I showed her a picture of the belt and she goes, oh, that's great. And I went, oh, no, he's the bad guy. she didn't know if he was a heel or just assumed, oh, he's the hero in this story.
Yeah.
No.
I remember when I'd only been working here not too long, but when Mike and Maria Kanellis debuted at Money in the Bank. And the gimmick was that Mike had taken on... They got married and Mike had taken on her name. I remember explaining to... She would put it with my girlfriend at the time, now my wife. I was like... And he took on her name and she was like, oh, that's really sweet. And I was like, no, they're the bad guys.
Yeah.
Because he took on her name.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a cuck, you see, I guess.
It's a very fun sort of morality to dive into. But, you know, when it's performed well, I thought the Kanellis stuff fell pretty flat. But when it gets heat, you can't really argue with
Absolutely
it.
Absolutely not.
Like,
it works.
If it works, it works.
It works.
If Nia Jax entering the Royal Rumble at number 30 in the men's match, And it works.
I was going to say, it has pissed off a lot of people and actually brought back a lot of the heat that she was had lost following Survivor Series. So I would say that was a home run choice.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, that is Vince McMahon all over. And we talk about how out of touch Vince McMahon is, how he relies on old gratuitous thinking or just ideas that don't build the future. You just focus on one person. And he pulls that out of the bag. And I'm like, maybe the guy's got 5 years left.
I don't want him to leave.
I know, it's terrible. But so anyway, this was the main event segment of SmackDown. And it was Bryan coming out to, I guess, like, what we were going to see the explanation behind Rowan joining him at Royal Rumble in the match against AJ. That was really the main storyline coming out of Sunday night. But that, all that stuff was kind of secondary to him ditching the previous championship design and debuting his eco version.
Yeah, he just said that Rowan, he's someone who is on his intellectual level, and he's also doing this for the greater good because he does see me as the planet's champion.
Yeah.
And yeah, Rowan comes out wearing, I believe, an Aelstorm t-shirt, and he's just carrying this sack over his shoulder. And yeah, you're right, they just called him Rowan rather than Eric Rowan. Coming out to his old entrance music as well, which I popped a little bit for because it's really crap. But I really popped because his Titantron says Rowan, but the O is the recycle symbol. And I was like, that's great.
Yeah.
That's a lovely little touch.
And that, like, I love it. I don't think Rowan said a word. I don't think I've ever heard him say a word.
The Bludgeon Brothers promos.
Oh, yeah.
He said loads of words.
Oh, I forgot the Bludgeon Brothers happened. I just thought it went straight from Wyatt family into this. He's an impressionable young man.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah, don't like, you know, I can see him joining another cult or just giving all his money to someone. Ah, this Nigerian prince wants me to help him out. I'm sure I can wire him some money.
It was really funny as well because Brian's promo was kind of talking about sort of like what a smart guy Eric Rowan is. And I thought to myself, this was what Rowan's single career was. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
When he went solo from the Wyatt family, his gimmick was, oh, he's smarter than you think. He's a vintner. He can solve Rubik's Cubes really quickly.
A vintner?
Yes. He makes wine.
Oh, okay.
And he's like really good at the guitar and things like this. And they tried to make it, oh, I completely misjudged this person. So it's nice that in almost a bit of continuity, they've kind of tied this all together to create this one character if you ignore all the Bludgeon Brothers stuff.
SmackDown's quite good at that. They do that. We'll talk about it later with the Mandy Rose Naomi stuff. Just trying to find little threads somewhere to justify storylines. And I, as a continuity obsessive, I like that. I really, really appreciate it.
I feel like that's one they've stumbled across, though.
Hey, but I don't mind. I don't mind.
I don't mind it, Val, but I think it's one they stumbled across by accident.
Yeah, so Brian talks about how he is now, him and Rowan are now a thing. I don't buy into Rowan.
The crowd
don't
either.
I don't think anyone
he
does.
Still comes out to crickets.
Yeah, and it just feels he's so transparently someone who's been slotted into this position. And if it was Luke Harper, who's genuinely over, I think a lot of people would be more into it. But Rowan was always the weakest part of any act he's been in.
Yeah, that's very true. And it kind of reminds me, if you know when Punk was on the Colt Cabana podcast, the podcast that shall not be spoken of, he talked about in that they wanted to put Big Show with Punk as like, oh, he'll be your heater. And I remember thinking at the time, God, that'd have been a really weird pairing. I can't see that as a thing. And it's kind of the same thing here. It's like, we've put Eric Rowan with you because you need a heater. But I'm like, but it's not, it doesn't really work.
Explain a heater to the crowd.
Someone to get extra heat for.
Yeah. So they stand outside and help you do screwy finishes.
Basically what the Big Show was doing for the bar.
Yeah.
Not too long ago in a drop storyline.
I forgot about that too. But Brian kind of pushes past the Rowan stuff and he proceeds to cut an excellent, excellent promo.
So awesome.
On the WWE Championship belt. And he says, hey, in the build-up to our feud, AJ, you call me a hypocrite. And you know what? I agree. Oh, before that, he had a great line about saying, who won at the Royal Rumble? And everyone's chanting,
Becky.
And he went, no. it was me and all of you because I'm help. So it was great already. But then he talks about how he is a hypocrite. Because I've been walking around with this belt made of leather.
Yeah, but it's not just because it's made of leather. It's all got gaudy stuff on it as well.
And we've been making jokes about this for months, ever since he became the champion, all the way back when he was a babyface.
Yeah.
And he was a vegan and he had the belt made of leather, which was an old Solomonster audio clip he used to play all the time. But yeah, he tells this story about how this belt was once a cow. And for the purpose of this story, I'm going to call that cow Daisy. And he makes gives it humanity and how she was sacrificed for a symbol. And this symbol is, you know, just like, I don't know what. It was a really intelligent promo with a lot of substance.
Yeah, he said Daisy. Daisy felt joy. Daisy knew what joy was, but she didn't get to feel it very often. Daisy also knew pain, which she felt a lot of when she was slaughtered to make this symbol. I thought it was a really, really great promo. I don't think the crowd were completely on board because they weren't booing it. They were more making fun of it. But I don't know whether that's it kind of worked or whether it didn't, because the crowd were chanting, "Thank you, Daisy." And then when he was throwing it in the trash, they were chanting, "Goodbye, Daisy."
Yeah, yeah. It was, and Burn It Down, burn then it they down chant when they unveiled the wood version. Witty crowd. Witty. It's the post-Rumble crowd.
Yeah, bizarro world.
Yeah. I mean, they did make a lot of fun of it, but I felt like some of the things, usually when Brian cuts a promo like this, he's saying, I'm going to make you guilty about things you enjoy. But this went another level. This was like, you're killing sentient creatures here. And it's not so much a boo you, it's a, I feel weird and I don't know whether to boo or who am I booing? What happened to Daisy again? Yeah. It was such a smart promo. The guy is phenomenal right now.
What did I do to Daisy?
Oh, yeah. but then, yep, they unveil this design, which looks... I mean, I like it.
I like it. It's so plain. I've never really liked this WWE Championship anyway. I think this WWE Championship is... I mean, it's better than the spinner belt, but it's one of the worst.
I mean, yeah, the spinner belt is abhorrent.
It's a gross championship belt. But I'd say that this one was like a step above the spinner, but so far below like the Big Eagle or the World or anything like that.
I've heard there's two designs. There might be another design popping out which has more green on it, like sort of green, not jewels, but sort of recyclable stones, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But like pops of green on it, and they went for this one. I don't know if the other design will come back. This was from WrestleVotes.
Oh, so I see.
It's very,
okay,
very trustworthy. And yeah, it's a great, great idea.
Yeah, it really is. And it, as you said, it's something we've been sort of making fun of. And I think he did something at TLC on like a WWE.com thing or where people said, oh, he's introducing a new belt. And I was like, that seems like such a great TV segment. Why aren't they doing that as a TV segment? And it was just perfect to do as a TV segment.
Yeah.
It worked so, so well. I thought it was a home run segment. I really, really liked it.
I agree. Home run segment, crowd chanting, burn it down. And it just sends Brian into going, ignorant.
Yeah.
Ignorant. The only thing I would change, and this isn't like, you know, it would just, I think, elevate it even more, is rather than just putting the belt in the bin, he takes a sledgehammer to it, or he actually destroys the belt.
Yeah,
because I got putting it in the bin works, but as a visual, I think in those video package replays at the end when you're building to your title, when he's really disrespecting the belt by ripping it to shreds.
Maybe like once Brian does lose the belt, we'll be introduced to a new WWE Championship, or they'll just bring back the leather one again.
Yeah, I think the leather one will come back.
Yeah.
But after this, we got our build to Elimination Chamber, which was AJ Styles came out, and I thought, oh, here we go. This makes sense because he was screwed out of the title at Royal Rumble. But then Randy interrupted him almost from out of nowhere, I guess.
AJ had a good line where he said, did you smoke the prototype of that belt?
There were some great lines in this segment.
It really, really was.
95% from Samoa Joe.
Oh, well, yeah. Oh. I would almost say 98% from Samoa Joe. But yeah, then Randy came down, and then it went to an ad break, came back. Jeff Hardy was in the ring, and Mustafa Ali was cutting a promo. And then, and then Samoa Joe came out. And Joe essentially just pointed at each person and just sort of like, just made fun of them.
Destroyed them.
Absolutely. It was like, I'm just going to, you know, I'll defang the Viper. Jeff Hardy already destroyed you. Jeff goes to speak and he's like, no, we're not at AA now.
Oh my God.
This is not an AA meeting, but I do have something to share with the rest of the group.
Why don't you act like this is an AA meeting and shut your mouth? Orton laughed. I'm pretty sure Jeff was laughing. That line was so good.
It was great. It was really good. So it says that he's already beaten up Ali.
Yeah, and choked then, him out.
And then he just turns to AJ and is like, how's Wendy?
Yeah, and then they all start brawling. Samoa Joe, like, man, Brian is a good, like, a great promo. Joe is just as good a promo in a different way.
Yeah, it really is.
And this is like pure Joe Unleashed. Go for it. Oh, it's an absolutely amazing run of things. And all the while, they start brawling, and Brian is on the outside all of a sudden. He's on the announcer's desk, and he's screaming at them all, saying, I'm not going to face any of you, blah, blah, blah. And Triple H appears on the Titantron. I quite enjoyed this presentation.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know how I didn't see it coming. Triple H goes, well, you're not going to face just one of them. You're going to face all of them. And as soon as he said, oh, I was like, yes, of course it is. There's six people out there.
In my head, I saw five people in the ring, and I was like, oh, man, they're going to do a five-way number one contendership match for WrestleMania.
Classic Fastlane.
I'm such an idiot.
Yeah, of course. Of course it's Elimination Chamber. What a match that's going to be.
Yeah, that should be really good. I'd have preferred it without Jeff and Randy, but that's just me. That's just me. I would have rather some different faces in there. But at the same time, I don't mind it at all, mate.
I don't mind it because you've got Jeff and Orton as your kind of legends. And balancing it out, you've got Ali in there. So Ali having some exchanges or maybe even eliminating a Hardy and an Orton, I think is much more beneficial to just having all our favourites in there.
Well, do you not think the match would have been better with Andrade and Rey, though?
No. I think this is like a... the match would have been better as a thing, but for mainstream to get Ali over, to continue that journey, these are good people to put him in the ring with, just for name association.
Well, so is Rey Mysterio.
Gets the rub. Yeah, but there's Rey... Rey and Ali are kind of... Well, they're... Orton makes sense. I don't know why, it just makes sense in my head. Plus, you can spin off Mysterio and Andrade into their own match.
Well, yeah, it appears they're going to be having a match at Elimination Chamber. I suppose you've got to fill out the undercard in some way. As I said, I don't mind it too much. Other faces I would have preferred because Jeff and Randy do very little for me. Mm. But I can certainly... It makes sense to put them in the match. Makes a lot of sense.
And Brian runs away as they're all brawling. Runs up the ramp.
But as the show was going off the air, Eric Rowan started attacking Randy Orton.
Yeah.
And then they just... Cut to black.
I mean, it's Brock Lesnar F5ing all over again. It's definitely a direction that they thought up over the weekend. Let's go off air chaotically. And I'm all for it. Ring the bell, WCW style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's do some Patreon shout-outs to our $25 and above backers. So thank you, Michael Charles McGonery Burns.
Sorry, I didn't realize you. I thought you were going to go
I'll
to a break.
I'll keep going. Frolicking in a Cade Fielding. Woo!
Oh, oh, he's frolicking around. Bruiser, Braid, Shane.
I mean, I would say Brad. You said what? Braid.
Did I say Braid? It's because I think I was trying to pronounce his surname second. First.
Big
Brad,
Bad Blakey Lloyd.
It's just Blake Lloyd.
Blake Lloyd. It's I'm taking a leaf out of your mispronunciation book.
Boom, boom. Cult sample. Yeah, lovely stuff.
Riding on a sea, Sawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Laughing Laura.
Courageous Caleb.
Oh, yes.
You can do it, man.
Absolutely. Driller Killer David Humphreys. Nice.
Have you seen Netflix have a documentary movie on root canals?
Why would anyone watch that?
Devious Daryl Dominic.
Yeah, yeah, nice, yes. They are only known as hashtag Team LOL.
Who are they, though?
Well they, their name that's, on Patreon is Team LOL.
Cool. Would you like some Edward Fries with that? Oh, so his name's Edward Fries?
It is, yes.
Great.
Mr. Plow, that's his name. That name again is Mr. Plowman.
Plowman!
Yeah, there he is, Mr.
Give
Plowman.
Give it up for the Plowman. Loads of good wrestlers we just talked about there. Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, Mustafa Ali, Andrade, Cien Almas. But where do they rank in the WrestleTalk 100? That's right, issue 8 of the WrestleTalk magazine is available for order now in PDF form and physical form. There's a link in the video description below to go to our shop and buy it there. And it's our annual ranking of the 100 best wrestlers in the world. And it is so in-depth. We have an input on it that a bunch of other people at WrestleTalk, but it's mainly James Dixon's mind, who just knows so much about wrestling. He is a walking stats machine.
He is an encyclopedia. Yeah. I mean, you could pretty much just say to him, like, give him a date of a Raw episode and he can tell you what happened on it.
And he also knows all the indies and what's going on everywhere. So it really is like such a fascinating, exhaustive list. And you'll find a lot of people on there where you're like, huh, I haven't heard about this guy. I'll check him out. That's what. That's how we get all our stuff from Dixon.
I was going to say, they'll be signed to WWE next year.
Yeah, yeah. So, check out the link in the video description below. But SmackDown kicked off with the main event program of WWE.
Yeah, it's the most interesting thing in WWE for me. Really, really is. There's Becky Lynch coming out. They showed a recap of Becky winning the Rumble and then challenging Ronda Rousey on Raw. And then she comes out still selling the effects of the Royal Rumble, which I'm very, very...
hobbling on that ankle.
And that played into a storyline that sort of played out a little bit in this show. And she says that unlike Ronda, she doesn't crumble. Yeah, I may have lost to Asuka, but I won the Royal Rumble. Mm. And I came back and I'm always fighting. And she talked about how, like, because Ronda's whole deal was like, when you were like on the pre-show, I was stealing the show in my debut match. And, you know, while you were training, I was main eventing pay-per-views. And Becky was like, I'm proud to have trained. I'm proud to have gone from the pre-show to the main event. That's really good. And I'm sitting there going like, yeah, you're right, it is, Becky. That is really good.
Yeah, that line in particular was very, very effective because, yeah, I've worked myself up from the pre-show at last year's Mania to the main event of this year. And the key line for me in this was, and I wasn't handed nothing.
Exactly.
Implying that Ronda has been. And Becky's really worked herself up from the bottom.
Are you saying that Ronda hasn't been handed?
I just said, you know, maybe when you come in, she had a little bit of buzz, didn't she, when she joined the company?
A touch, yeah.
I thought this was a terrific promo. And that video package at the start was very well done. And it really made me sit back and go, this is the legit main event. It is so... Because, like, all the WWE women's wrestling stuff over the last few years with Charlotte and Sasha's feud and Ronda joining the promotion last year and the Asuka undefeated streak and Nia Jax. It's like, I've enjoyed it, but really it's kind of that there was a part of me that was going, I'm just saying that I'm forcing myself to enjoy it because I want women's wrestling to be treated equally in WWE. And like all of those things I just listed off, I feel come with a huge asterisk of loads of things they got wrong. And actually, it wasn't 100% effective and mid-card at best, really, compared to the other stuff that was going on in the show.
Of those, the only ones I disagree with is the Asuka one, which I thought was excellent until they dropped the ball with it.
I feel like she was never fully, she never fully caught a light.
In NXT?
Oh, sorry, I'm talking just main roster.
Just main roster. Fair enough.
But here we have a legit Ronda Becky. I'm not saying this is a great women's program. This is a great wrestling program. And that's what real equality is all about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I'm very, very happy. And I'm so into both of them.
God, your PC nonsense.
I know. My girlfriend's getting to me. What's she talking about? Charlotte comes out, though, and brilliantly takes credit for Becky's success.
Yeah, essentially. She says that, she goes, you won a match you weren't even in. I guess you did learn something from Charlotte Flair after all. And she starts applauding her. She's so insincere with this. And sort of like going like, yay, you won. Becky, which is the perfect response. And they've got a brilliant picture of this. I was so hoping they'd captured this on WWE.com. And they have, which Becky just smiles and just punches her in the face. And it is a Jeff Jarrett-like punch.
Mm.
Such a great, great punch. Loved it.
Yeah. Do you think Charlotte had heel makeup on?
I did not ask my cousin, but yeah. I think she's had heel makeup on since her heel turn that you said was a babyface turn.
She's a tweener. She's definitely a tweener, I think. But they have a brawl off the back of that. Becky just awesomely starts walking away after flooring Charlotte with a single punch.
Said everything she needed to.
Yeah, and Charlotte goes after her. They brawl, they're separated. And during the brawl, Becky's like kind of limping a bit more.
Yeah.
And this was terrific attention to detail from a storytelling thing, because Charlotte decides, I'm not going to keep beating you up anymore. She stands on the steps and just laughs and points at Becky's ankle.
Yeah, she starts even like hobbling herself to make fun of her, going like, oh, you're right. And then Becky, she left the show and she got into her car, and Kayla Braxton walked up and said like, you didn't want medics to look at your ankle. And Becky's like, I'm fine. And it's but it's that they're telling the story that she is clearly injured, but she doesn't want to admit that she's injured in case she loses the match again like she did at Survivor Series, which I think is actually a really, really nice story to tell.
It's a great story, and it gives... It makes Becky. It makes Becky even more of not that she's an underdog now because she's winning everything, but it puts a wrinkle in there and it makes me more invested in the story.
Yeah,
I think it's a terrific piece of storytelling.
I tell you what's the most fascinating thing about the Becky Charlotte feud, and I sort of made a joke about this in the SmackDown review, but I'm really not down on it because I'm imagining some people will think I'm being snarky about it when I'm actually not. But this is a feud that has been going on since SummerSlam.
Mm.
That is a long time. That's 9 months. And yet it still doesn't feel like they've been going at it for 9 months. It still feels like they've always seemed to find new ways to make this feel fresh and different. And you think, like, they've had match after match after match. These two have just been the focus of the SmackDown Women's Division now for 9 months. But it doesn't really feel like it's been 9 months. It's not like, you know, when Joe and AJ were feuding, we're like, good Lord, they're just having match after match after match and it's going nowhere. This feels like it's always going somewhere.
It's because there's so many plates spinning. They've spiraled it off into a feud with Asuka. There was a little bit of Carmella in there for a bit. Really, the big feud is with Ronda on the other brand. So you've got all these different directions. And that's what we always talk about when you have these... A great long arc of a feud that goes a year doesn't mean you have the same matchup between them every month. It means you have about four matches and you interweave other wrestlers and storylines into that one feud.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're doing here. It's great. It's really very good.
Yeah.
And I guess you can make the argument that the dynamics have changed.
Mm-hmm.
And not in a rushed way, but in a very interesting way and the right way, turning Becky babyface. Okay, now we get to some very, very bizarre happenings.
Yeah, they had some wrestling on this show. This was bizarre.
Not much. So R-Truth comes out with Carmella and says, hey, if I wasn't taken out by Nia Jax at number 30 in the Men's Royal Rumble, I would have won it.
Absolutely. He said, 1 minute I was rapping, the next I was napping.
Yeah. And... The McMahons apparently agree with him because they have granted him a United States Championship opportunity against new champion Shinsuke Nakamura here.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought I've seen Truth have these matches with Nakamura for the US title just a few months ago. over very quickly.
Absolutely. I thought it's a nice little way to kind of restart this Nakamura United States Championship run. The last one was a complete wet fart because we didn't put it on TV, didn't give him a storyline. It was bad. So maybe this will be a nice little fresh start. He can get a win over R-Truth, and then he can start his next program. Which we thought might be Ali or Samoa Joe or something along those lines. But no, then R-Truth rolled him up. The referee counted two. Nakamura kicked out and the referee pointed to the bell. And they continued to wrestle, but then the bell rang and the commentators acted confused. The guys in the ring acted confused. Nakamura started arguing with the referee and then they're like, I think Truth's a champion. And then they announced, after showing several replays, that Truth is the champion.
Showing several replays of Nakamura kicking out and Todd Phillips going, he got his shoulders up before the three count there. And then, on the next replay, well, it looks like he's the champion. This was so weird.
Yes, yeah, so weird.
As soon as that happened, I was like, well, this is a botch.
Yeah.
This is AJ Styles. Okay. What is wrong with the US title? This is AJ Styles and Kevin Owens. Backlash? Battleground? Can't remember what it was.
Fastlane?
Yeah, Fastlane. One of them. And yeah, the key for me was Truth went to go into the next spot after the kickout. And if the plan was that it was going to be a screw finish, surely you just have Truth run up and start celebrating and Nakamura goes to do the next thing.
Yeah.
But I still can't figure out what's gone on here.
I've written in my notes, this has to be a mistake. It was a total mistake. Nakamura clearly kicked out. This is a complete botch result. But then Rusev comes out and starts cutting a promo, a heelish promo, on Truth being champion and saying, like, look at you, you're a joke, why are you the champion? And then they had a match for the belt, and Rusev and Nakamura did this big heel turn angle where Truth beat Rusev, and then Nakamura and Rusev have formed a team. So I'm thinking to myself, like, it must have been the plan. I don't think it was the finish.
Yeah.
I think the Truth was always destined to win, perhaps with a roll-up. I don't think it was meant to be that roll-up.
Potentially, yeah. I don't know. It could easily just have been this was something planned for next week, or like the Rusev-Nakamura combination, and accidentally because... I don't know, but how do you get to Rusev and Nakamura teaming up if the US title's on one of them? This is so weird. And it just makes it more confusing that Rusev just walks out, who's been a babyface for quite a while now, and he's suddenly saying, R-Truth, you don't deserve the United States title. The crowd are like, what? Do we boo you now? It's exactly the same case as Elias the previous night.
Rusev was a babyface literally on Sunday defending the title. And here it just came out like nothing had happened, cutting a heel promo, and then completes that heel turn by beating down and teaming with the guy who on 2 days previous had led to his wife getting so hurt she couldn't even compete in the Royal Rumble. Yeah. Lana's on the outside cheering.
Yeah.
And like celebrating along with him. I was like, why is none of you mad?
Rusev, Nakamura crush. We're like, what are you? Why, Lana?
I know, like, we sort of talked about in the Raw episode that these shows always feel like a bit of a reset.
Yeah,
but if it's a reset, that's got to make sense.
This is a crash reset.
This really did not make sense.
This is a task manager close all programs, right, yeah, and without saving reset.
Absolutely. And like someone pointed this out on Discord that like they've done the same because they did this with Elias on Monday. They've taken two really over baby faces and looked at them and thought, probably should be healed though.
Mm. Let's make him a tag team act. Oh, didn't he have that with Rusev? No. He's much better as a commentator on 205 Live.
Yeah.
Good grief. Well, this segment just sort of fizzles out as well. Nakamura and Rusev are standing over Truth. Rusev looks a bit, what's going on here, Nakamura? But I guess that makes sense because he's weighing up in his own mind whether he wants to team with this guy who's been terrorizing him off of TV for a while. And then it goes to the announcers and they seem confused. They just throw to the next segment.
And I completely agree with you. They were sort of acting as confused, which is, it does make storyline sense in a way. But why wasn't Lana doing anything? Why wasn't Lana... Like, Lana was a non-factor in all of this.
Well, so when Rusev and Lana came out and challenged R-Truth and Carmella pushed over Lana. That was as much as they factored into
it. But why was Lana a heel?
I don't... Because... it's... This was so, so weird. I cannot wait for Meltzer to say what he's heard backstage. But at the time of recording, we haven't heard what's gone on here.
This will probably be one of those things where it's been completely, like, unveiled and revealed by the time this goes live, and we'll look like complete morons because we're going to go like, I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Well, look, even if this was the plan, it was executed really badly.
Very poorly.
Because it just made everyone confused. And there's good kind of confusions where you're like, oh my God, what's going to happen next week? But then there's another type of confusion that's like, nah, you screwed up.
Yeah.
What did you meant to do?
I have to say, turning Rusev heel is such an error.
Well, turning Rusev heel to team with Nakamura as a heel act, as what happened in the segment later, that has me intrigued.
Yeah.
I'm not totally against that. But yeah, the whole Rusev Day thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a real shame that US title Vortex has sucked up all of... I mean, Nakamura. Rusev was the most over person in the company this time last year. And now look what's happened.
And it's funny as well, like someone pointed this out on Discord where they said, For weeks and months, we've been complaining that the US title's not been featured and Nakamura and Rusev haven't been featured. Then they're featured and we're all complaining about it.
Mm.
And I completely get that argument. But at the same time, it's that just because they're on TV doesn't make it good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's classic WWE. You want that thing? Well, here it is.
You've
and we're
going to
make it rubbish.
Yeah.
And then it cuts backstage and R-Truth's holding his arm, being seen to by a medic. And he's like, I'm the United States champion. And I'm like, you are. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and they set up an angle later on where Rusev, the Good Brothers approach Rusev and ask him, hey, man, that wasn't cool. And I'm like, are you still here?
Well, they've been hanging out with the United States Vortex. they all exist in that dimension.
And then, Rusev doesn't really say much, but Rusev tells him to go back to catering, which I thought was a good line. Mm-hmm. And then Anderson challenges him to a match. Rusev said this is not a and then Nakamura walks in and Rusev looks at him and says, like, this is a one-time thing. Do not screw me over.
Mm.
So there is some intrigue there. It's not what I would have done, but there is some intrigue there.
No. It's very confusing, but I am excited about the potential of Nakamura and Rusev.
At least Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows are going to get some TV time next week.
Yeah.
Although I did think that they said this match was tonight.
Mm, I thought that too.
Because when they did the Daniel Bryan segments, I was like, it's funny that they're going to end with that tag match, though. That seems like a really odd way to end this show. But I mean, I'm not totally against it because I could do with some wrestling on this very talky show.
Like I predicted accurately on Monday that Atami would be handing in his notice in our Royal Rumble review. Good Brothers aren't going to be around much longer. That's the next report, surely. Yeah. Good Brothers again too. So yeah, just really, really weird. In between that backstage bit and the match, we had Rey Mysterio come out for a match against Samoa Joe.
Yes, but Joe doesn't come out. Zelina Vega comes out and she says that it's Rey's fault that she was banned from ringside last week. What's the problem? Are you too distracted by me?
I certainly am often with the Street Fighter attire.
I was gonna say, when she came out dressed like Vega, it's the most sexually confused I've ever felt.
And also there was the outfit she was wearing here seemed entirely comprised of arrows. White arrows. I was just like, how's this work? I don't know what's going on, but my eyes can't look away.
And then Andrade attacked Rey from behind, and they had sort of like a bit of back and forth with Andrade laying him out with the hammerlock DDT. No Samoa Joe whatsoever. I guess that match wasn't gonna happen.
So talking of people looking great in their attire, I thought Andrade looked great as well in his white suit.
Oh, he looked like $1 million.
Yeah, yeah.
CN.
That's 100, right?
Yeah, he looked like
100 bucks.
100 million bucks.
He looked like a budget suit from Top Man.
Mate, $100 a budget suit. How much are you spending on suits?
Well, that's, yeah, like $100 would be about 60, 70 quid.
That's still a lot of money to spend on a suit.
No, it's a... Not objectively.
Is it not?
No.
What?
Well, like a normal adult amount to pay for a suit is about £200 to £300.
No, it is not.
And then a really, really nice suit is like an excess of, you know, ones that I don't own are in excess of $1,000.
This seems like a ludicrous amount of money to spend on something so superficial. This cost me £8.
I know. Well, you know, yeah. Well, it's, I think there's different. There's different levels there. You look great.
Thanks, man.
You don't enter the suit world that often. How much was your wedding suit?
Yeah, but that was a wedding suit. And I hired it as well. I didn't buy it. And my mum paid for it as well because it was a wedding gift.
Brilliant. I think you're arguing my case. Paige had a movie promo next for Fighting My Family, which is out in 2 weeks on Valentine's Day.
And it has had middling reviews.
Yeah. Oh, has it? I haven't seen the reviews
yet.
Yeah,
everyone has said very run-of-the-mill. It's every sports story you've ever seen, but good bit of heart to it.
Mm, yeah.
Hollywood Reporter were not as nice, but yeah, they were just like, a few scenes with a rock does not make up for the fact that your story is very, very average.
I thought this would be a lot better if Paige was still SmackDown General Manager. Like, seeing Paige on screen, we haven't seen her since that late December address to the crowd where it's unceremoniously said, oh yeah, she's not going to be here anymore, but thanks very much, Paige. Yeah. Woo, great job.
It wasn't to the crowd, it was to the...
Yeah, sorry, to the roster. So I miss Paige. She was she's really good at being an on-air character. It's baffling that they haven't found something for her.
Yeah, but, you know, it's all Baron Corbin's fault, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And then we got Shane and Miz. Shane McMahon came out with The Miz, and they were introduced by the ring announcer as the best tag team in the world.
Yeah.
And they got a really good reaction from the crowd.
Crowd love Shane. They really do. And they're really into Miz as a babyface as well. Credit to WWE. I genuinely did not think you could do Miz as a babyface because the last time they did it, it was a disaster.
He's come on so much since then, though.
Yeah.
He's so talented now.
I think they've done a really, really solid, solid job of getting this act over.
Mm.
And the crowd are really, really into it. So happy to see them as the tag team champions. And this segment was a bit lovely, really.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Shane says, I've got a gift for you for helping me achieve my boyhood dream. It starts off with a video package. This video package was so good that they made this storyline seem coherent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they made the whole Shane Miz weird mess that's been going on since November seem like a really coherent, succinct redemption story for Miz in the eyes of his father.
Yeah.
And I got so invested in Miz as a babyface just off this. And it made me think, is that why WWE tells such bad week-to-week stories? Because their video editing department is so good. By the time the pay-per-view comes around and the go-home video packages, it's fine. They can make sense of it all.
Yeah. It's a real testament to how good WWE are at these video packages. Because this was an excellent, excellent video package. That when I watched it, I was like, God, it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Like, and my notes aren't like, oh my God, what an amazing video package. Because I think that goes without saying. Mm. But like, really, it's just like, yeah, no, I think this is all right now.
Yeah. And I'm really into both guys and this act. Yeah.
Look at you, into Shane McMahon in 2019.
I know. I'm more into Miz. But yeah, Shane is a part of it. And Shane brings out after that... Miz's dad.
George yeah. Mizanin with his wonderful mustache.
Who has been just such a comedy figure over the years. Like when, I can't remember who it was, but Miz was being beaten up at ringside and Miz's dad could be seen laughing at him in the front row of the crowd.
Yeah.
So just all these, but his mum was selling it really big.
Yeah.
But yeah, George comes out wearing a Miz and Mrs. top and
Miz
says...
Miz and what now?
Miz and Mrs.?
Is that what the top he had? I thought he's got... It's Miz and Mac.
Oh, was it Miz and Mac?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because you see Miz, and I wonder if this is subtle storytelling. I'm not going to say it is, because it could just be ego. But Miz is wearing their joint gear.
Mm.
He's wearing a t-shirt that says Miz and Mac, whereas Shane is only wearing stuff that says Shane O'Mac. He's only wearing his own gear.
Oh, possibly. That's a good wrinkle.
A bit like Triple H whenever he's on a Survivor Series team. I'm not wearing one of those Raw t-shirts. I'm not a nerd. I'm going to wear one of my own t-shirts, thank you very much.
Anyway, then we got George doing the lovely bit where he said to Miz, I love you and I'm very proud of you.
Lovely
And
stuff.
It was actually really nice. And this was, you know, Miz, this detestable heel, this ego-driven maniac. There he is. Kind of like the Seth Triple H thing the previous night. It was like, ah.
Yeah, very nice.
WrestleVotes also reported that that's a shoot, the Triple H Seth Rollins stuff. That was Triple H going backstage saying we need to make Seth our main guy.
Yeah, I heard.
And a lot of
well.
That stuff was genuine in the ring.
And the other WrestleVotes thing as well is that because they reported prior to the Royal Rumble, they had a big, big storyline planned. And a lot of people went after them saying, like, you misreported this. Apparently, the big storyline was Dean Ambrose.
Yeah,
they were going to do a really big angle with Dean Ambrose at the Royal Rumble. But then when he handed in his release, or asked for his release, they scrapped the angle.
Yeah, and let Aleister Black throw him out.
Yeah.
So Shane then says, after this lovely moment, it didn't turn into an angle. Maybe that will. Maybe now George is in this feud. The Usos are going to lock him up or something.
Well, I was disappointed that George was not with them when they were watching the tag match later.
Like, yeah, sharing a beer with Miz. Maybe playing catch in the background. But Shane introduced a four-way elimination match to decide the new number one contenders. Elimination is key there because I forgot. And I was like, oh my God, Heavy Machinery just won. What a push.
But before we get to that tag match, Sonya and Mandy were backstage and just said, we're in the chamber.
There was more to it than that.
No, I know there's more to it than that, but everyone else is qualifying. Why do they just get to say they're in it?
Yeah, because there aren't enough teams to qualify against on SmackDown.
You could put some Franken teams together, get some people up from NXT, get some local enhancement talent in.
That is a bit of an oversight. But I like this segment because it started with a clip from Tough Enough 2015, which is where Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville came from and met and became best friends from. And it's a shot of Naomi just saying, hey, this is a really tough job, and to be on the road day after day, you've got to be really tough. You can't be weak. And then you can see Mandy in the group of people she's addressing.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. That's the motivation for why she hates Naomi.
But it's not just that. So she called her weak. This is when Naomi was in Team Bad with Sasha Banks and Tamina. And they were doing, I guess, some drills and stuff. And she was telling Tamina, splash her, splash her. And you can, like, they kind of like do a little silhouette thing, not a silhouette, but like a highlight thing of Naomi pointing at Mandy Rose and saying, splash her, splash her. And Sonya's like, Mandy just, you know, she cried all the way home. She's never really recovered from that mentally. And I think that's a really, really nice little bit of continuity storytelling. Yeah. As I said, I wouldn't be surprised if they accidentally stumbled across this. And were we need a reason for these two to feud. That's fallen into our laps. Well, how fortuitous.
Yeah.
But it is very, very nice. It did lead to some abhorrently bad Corey Graves commentary, though, for the rest of the night, where he just would not shut up about it.
Yeah, particularly in this following tag match. Yeah. But I thought the Rose Sonya stuff, I like it when a little thing, it seems small, but actually those are the things that really stay with you and can inform big revenge stories later down the line.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Rosebud of payoffs from Citizen Kane. It's like, oh, it was just
a
sledge.
I thought you meant Adam Rose for
a second. Uh-huh. All that was about a sledge. All that was about Tamina splashing them.
Spoilers for Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
I did think as well, because someone said on Discord that made me laugh. I was like, I mean, the show literally is called Tough Enough. Like, that was the point.
Not the least weak.
Yeah. But I thought, like, oh, perhaps this is just another one of those Vince McMahon, you know, having a pop at millennials thing, feeling they're entitled. Because Mandy is the heel here. And so she is crying crocodile tears for something that Naomi did, which she should have done anyway.
And they're all millennials.
Yes.
They're all millennials.
Yep.
Then we got the tag team match to
some wrestling.
Make the number one contender. It was New Day versus Heavy Machinery versus The Bar versus The Usos. Heavy Machinery still haven't committed to a brand. No EC3 this week. No Lacey Evans this week.
No Nikki Cross.
But Nikki Cross was on a graphic.
Yep, because she's on next week's show. And at least, you know,
no Lars Sullivan.
Nikki Cross, yeah. At least Nikki Cross and Lacey Evans were in the Rumble. We haven't seen EC3 now for weeks. I made a joke about it in the review about, has anyone seen him?
Yeah.
But I also
maybe got locked in that hotel room he keeps walking into.
I thought this was funny as well, because by their own admission, by WWE's own admission, the SmackDown tag team division was stale because it was the same three teams fighting each other all the time. And they made up three quarters of this match.
Mm. But yeah, Heavy Machinery were in there.
And I thought they looked the best of all three teams because this match really put a lot of focus on Heavy Machinery, which I thought is a really good way to get them over. Not being a horny goblin, not just making milkshakes backstage. It's putting them out in wrestling matches and letting them show off their characters in ring. This made them look great. I didn't see the match they had on Raw, but I don't know if that did the same deal. But I thought this was a really, really good way to show off Heavy Machinery.
This was much better because it was essentially the Usos, the New Day, the Bar, three fantastic teams, all great wrestlers, really designing the match four heavy machinery spots.
Really.
Whereas the other match, I can't remember who they faced.
The Ascension?
Was it the Ascension? Yes. Yeah.
I guess.
I think it was, though. And it was just, here's a few heavy machinery spots, boof, it's over in 4 minutes.
Yeah.
So this is a much more effective way of doing it. And the match really was built around it. And they, initially, the crowd were middling. There was a bit of a pop for when Otis and Big E did a stare down and a few collisions. But then Otis and Tucker did their bushwhacker stuff and marching around the ring. The crowd weren't into that at all. It was crickets. But by the end, and you've got Otis doing the caterpillar worm, people loved him. And Otis was the star of the match.
He's the star of that team. He always has been, really. As wide as he is tall. I like Corey Graves, though. His one shining moment of commentary said that he looks like Gwildor from Masters of the Universe, which is a shockingly accurate...
I really appreciated the shot backstage, which we alluded to earlier, of Miz and Shane McMahon watching this match, because these are the future title contenders. They're not watching awkwardly in a weird backstage area. They have a little viewing room with a TV set up and two nice comfy chairs pointing at the TV.
Hey, well, he's a McMahon. He's not some jabroni that's just going to stand around backstage looking at a screen. He's going to be in a really weirdly lit office. It didn't look like it was like there was no natural light in there.
It looked like a cinema room.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm going there to enjoy the broadcast of SmackDown, this show that I supposedly run and arrive late to every week.
The McMahons run it, but is Shane specifically running SmackDown?
Well, Shane appeared to book this match.
Which I suppose he would have ability to do so, but surely he could do that on Raw as well. Because
has booked matches on Raw.
Because the McMahons run the show. Right?
Yeah. There's no authority figures, remember, guys, in the new era. So who was eliminated first? Otis caught Kofi off a dive and then Tucker pinned him to eliminate
the
New Day.
The compactor to get the pin on New Day.
And then the bar worked over the Usos for a bit.
I thought the Usos got eliminated because we came back from break.
Yeah, they were gone, friends.
And it was just heavy machinery and the bar with the Usos nowhere in sight. Mm.
I really like the heavy machinery monkey flip into a power slam.
Mm.
That's a cool looking thing.
I think they're a really, really fun tag team.
Mm. But Sheamus eliminated Tucker. They look great though, even though they were out second. They look great. And then the Usos quickly eliminated the bar shortly after to win. So it was machinery were really close to winning. They shouldn't have.
No, absolutely not.
Because it's far too early for them. But really good first step of getting them over.
Agreed.
And it'll be the Usos against Shane McMahon and The Miz. And I just thought, there is such a gulf in talent there.
I can't wait for you to get so annoyed when Shane starts out-wrestling the Usos.
Oh, my God. It's offensive. So I really enjoyed this SmackDown. Not that much wrestling on, but I'm a bit tired of wrestling from Royal Rumble. There was a lot of matches there. Mm-hmm. So I easily a smacktastic for me, 4 out of 5.
I gave it a high smack bang in the middle,
mm-hmm.
and only reason why was like I like wrestling on my wrestling show. And really, like you could argue there's only one match on this show because the other two only went a couple of minutes combined. So. And it was really weird.
Yeah.
So I would argue that there was only one real wrestling match on this show. In a 2-hour broadcast, there was just like every time another promo segment started, I was like, come on. Mm. It's just so much talking on this show. But all this, I think it was, for once, a newsworthy episode of SmackDown Live. But there was not enough wrestling for me, so I had to knock it down ever so slightly.
I think that's fair enough.
So yesterday I did tease a WrestleTalk Get Better, but we didn't really have time to do it. So I thought I would do it now. And then I've got a bit of a question I would like to pose to you after I've read out a couple of these Get Betters.
Chat me up, Bruce.
So this one comes in from Jesse. Hi, Luke, Ollie, Fakador, brackets, and not Randall Datsun. Luke, you mentioned that you are
I'm very glad that's caught on.
Luke, you mentioned that you are vegetarian. I am not, but have been in the past. I started in 2013 with not a New Year's resolution, but a New Year's challenge. The challenge was from January 1st, I was going to see if I could live life as a vegetarian. The challenge was only planned to last 6 months. And then it's not a whole year challenge then. But I think I went 8. I returned to how it ended in a bit. As part of the challenge, my only rule was if an animal died to bring me the food, I wouldn't eat it.
So, like, an Old dog butler bringing you a plate of broccoli. If that dog passed away from old age while bringing you the plate of broccoli, can't eat the broccoli. That's what I'm getting from that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it's more like a cow has been killed in order for you to be, in order for you to eat it. That, and so he wouldn't eat that.
So what kinds of what kinds of meat are there? Is he keeping cows alive and chopping bits of their flesh off and eating it?
Well, no, because he can't, because that cow will have died.
No, but if it's kept alive, if the cow in some sick sociopathic killaway,
like Texas Chainsaw Massacre style. Anyway, back to this email. I was 16 and still in school at the time. It was rough on my parents as they would cook meat for the rest of the family, and I found myself eating noodles most of the time. I did still try to many delicious vegetarian foods when I went out on a two-week trip with my school travelling around Australia, brackets, I climbed up Uluru, brackets, Ayers Rock, close brackets, but had an anxiety attack on the way down. That's sad. But on the trip, I was the only vegetarian, and I felt bad for not eating what the cooks traveling with us had prepared for the rest of the class and making them prepare a vegetarian alternative just for me. So that is my first question. Am I a bad person for making them do that over the entire 2 weeks? I'm 22 now, and I still think about it. Anyway, I lost a lot of weight in that time and felt awesome. Bracket, that's the get better part, kinda. Close brackets. I ended being a vegetarian with a mammoth burger when I went on a trip with my family and my best friend to Wollongong for a baseball tournament. I like the sound of Wollongong.
It's a fun name to say.
It is indeed. Brackets, I don't play myself, but my brothers have been Australian national champions in under-18s baseball. Close brackets. Fun little facts. People were telling me that eating all that meat for the first time in so many months would make me sick, but I felt fine. And almost half of it to myself. Brackets, always been a big eater. I'd had almost half of it to myself. How mammoth is this burger if multiple people have to eat it?
There's the Crazy Bear have a burger challenge where you've got to eat this burger in half an hour.
Mm.
And it's impossible.
My wife and I went to a pub once when we were scouting locations of where we might want to move to. And we went into this pub. It's a chain pub. It's not a Wetherspoons, but I can't remember which one it was. It's the one with all the orange on it.
Mm.
And they had a breakfast challenge that was called the dustbin lids, where they serve you a dustbin lid full of breakfast food and you have to eat it all in under 20 minutes.
I love breakfast food. It's kind of like the cinnamon challenge. I haven't done it, but I think I could.
You can't.
No, I think I could be the guy who does it.
You can't.
I can be the person who eats cinnamon
no.
by the spoonful.
I thought I could be that guy as well, and I did pretty well. It is impossible to do.
Why are you trying to limit me, man? Don't tell me what I can and can't do.
Anyway, back to this email. I have since put the weight back on, and wanting to learn wrestling is inspiring me to try and lose weight again. Anyway, my last question is to Luke. Do you ever have a cheat day, maybe once a month or once every 6 months, where you eat something meaty? You have said that being a vegetarian isn't because of some belief or otherwise. I respect a lot of vegetarians and vegans. Brackets, just not when they shove it down your throat. Close brackets. Oh, interjection. Those people don't really exist. Back to the email.
Oh, they totally do.
Well, yeah, but the same way that, like, everyone does. Like, churches have people that shove things down your throat. Warmongers have people that shove things down your throat.
I don't like those people either.
Well, I know, but like...
I lived with them at uni.
Well, warmongers.
Ridiculous. I remember my housemate, she was smoking, and she went, oh, you know, if you're eating meat, you're not only harming the planet, you're harming your own body. And I was like, you are literally smoking a cigarette as you're telling me this. Can you not do it? I've told you for the 15th time, I'm eating.
I love this woman and the story that you have about her.
That's her voice. That is a legit voice.
Was she the one that I upset?
No. This is at uni. Don't talk to her anymore.
Yeah. Back to the email. But I don't think I could live my life without bacon. Much love from Australia. So to answer your question, no, I haven't had a cheat day where I eat something meaty. I haven't really felt the need for it. I think the only time I think I've felt the need for like something that's meat-based is when I think I like passed a fast food joint and I needed to eat something quick and I thought I could just grab a Big Mac. That's probably the only time.
Not throw the burger out?
Well, that's only because
like a frisbee.
I bloody love Big Macs.
Mm-hmm.
I was a bit addicted to them at one point in my heavier days. So, no, I've not had a cheat day.
I think most people who turn vegetarian and stick with it do it from an ethical or a morality standpoint. So to have a cheat day from your morals is quite difficult. What you're talking about is a diet.
Yes.
Where you have a break from the diet, you have a cheat day from eating healthy in the week. But I think the more successful version of vegetarianism from people I know who do it, you like Luke and my lady partner, is they don't like killing animals. They disagree with it. So they just don't. That's why they don't eat meat.
Yeah.
Or like the larger food industrial complex.
I also think that the meat industry is quite detrimental to our planet's ecological. I'm not going to cut a Daniel Bryan promo, but effectively he's right. That's all I'm going to say. He is actually saying a lot of correct things. We got another Rest Talk Get Better, but I'm conscious of the time, and you've hidden the time from me. So
the
I can't
timer, see. Yeah, we've got 3 minutes.
And you want to do some emails, not some emails, some iTunes reviews. Mm-hmm. So. We're not going to do Bryn's email. I'll do that on Saturday's podcast.
Oh, wait, didn't the chap have another question embedded in there that we never answered? There was a first question moment. It was should I feel guilty? It was, should I feel guilty?
That's right. No, absolutely not. Absolutely. Never feel guilty about that sort of thing. So I've got a question to post to you first before you do some iTunes reviews. I was going through the emails that we've got. And I've got them separated out into different categories in my emails. I go to the thank yous tab. There's nothing there. Rusev, that one that we just read out there. Poetry Corner, got a fairly decent amount of Poetry Corner submissions. No jokes, no get betters, no general, no confessions. A lot of agony arts.
Okay.
But some of the times we don't do agony arts because, and this is where I'm going to pose my question. We started doing agony arts because it was a very silly thing. People were sending us genuinely very silly questions and we were giving them terrible advice on that. And it was very, very funny for a little while. But people are now sending us genuinely serious problems and you and I are not qualified to answer those. As is proved, because sometimes you just give a comical answer. Then I feel very bad about giving a comical answer. Do you think it's time we dropped this segment?
No, because I think it's such a good pun. I think a lot of people, well, I guess the SWAF Nation can decide, get in touch with emails or Luke loves a tweet.
Yeah.
And because, of course, we're not qualified and we can start off making jokes because if my friend was to come to me in real life, happened over the weekend with a sad thing, with a feel, wanting to have, we call them DMCs, deep meaningful conversations.
Lovely, love it. Devil May Cry.
And he told me what had happened. I made fun of him for the first 10 minutes and light of the situation, broke the ice, and then we spoke about what, you know.
Then you actually had some proper
Then we actually had the proper chat. So that's, I think that's a nice way to use humor to diffuse a situation. But then, like, maybe we make a rule that we will always make fun of you at first, unless it's awful, jeez.
Well, I was going to say, there have been some emails that we've got where I've felt very bad because we've either not been able to get to them and they are like super serious. You should really go speak to other people. There are various hotlines that you can speak to that are not on a wrestling based podcast,
but maybe they need a helping hand from us to just say on air we're here rooting for you.
Absolutely, of course, and we are, always are.
Check out these places that are more qualified to help.
So that was the question.
But
I was
maybe people are sick of it. Maybe people think it's boring hearing about other people's problems. Yeah. Wham, wham, wham.
Exactly.
So let us know.
The other part of it as well is that because people are sending in genuine, real emotions and, you know, proper, real feels, their emails are then 15 paragraphs long and we never have time to read them out. In which case, then they just get bogged down. And there are some of them that were sent back in, what's the month before October? September. That we still haven't got to.
Likewise, there are others that are about SpongeBob SquarePants. And that toys with my emotions. My laptop just went from 4% to 5% battery.
I like how you just switched the subject there, Oliver Davis.
I think I've got to take this to the guys down at CERN. I think we've cracked it. Fusion's alive.
Do you want to do a couple of quick iTunes reviews and then we'll get out of here?
So from the Brazilian Million, great, consistent, and entertaining. I've been listening to Wrestle Talk for a few years now and couldn't be more grateful to have them to get me through my long work days. I especially love the NXT... What the hell?
Sorry?
I especially love the NXT reviews.
Well, they are good.
Keep up the great work, guys. Well, okay. I mean, it was a fight. Here we go. This is better. This is better. The best wrestling podcast your ears will ever hear from J10 Music Noir.
Nice.
Been watching WrestleTalk on YouTube for a few years now, and Ollie is the most entertaining personality since Rockford Dwayne Johnson.
I mean, he's now not wrong.
Back.
He's not
now
wrong.
Now we're back. I have a 45-minute drive to work in the mornings and a painful 2-hour-plus traffic drive home.
Mate.
And listening to Ollie, Luke, and El Fakador makes the ride a lot more bearable. Love the content, guys. Keep it up. Podswafter for life!
Nice. Woo. Yes, well done.
Thanks,
you, man.
Chaps. So go over to iTunes and leave us some reviews.
I feel
we'll
that
read them out when we can.
I feel that 2-hour commute pain. I used to have a 2-hour commute when I was working at my old job before I started working here, driving back from Newbury to London, which was awful, and podcasts really are a great way to help with that. Let's, before we get out of here, do you want a joke?
I thought you said you didn't have any.
Well, they were hidden within Bryn's email of his WrestleTalk Get Better.
Hit me up. Chat me up, Bruce.
Why don't aliens visit our planet? Terrible ratings. Only 1 star.
I mean, that's got to be a... maybe that's, he made that up himself.
Maybe.
Seems like too wrestling insider Dave Meltzer orientated there.
What's the difference between deer nuts and beer nuts? Beer nuts are $1.75, beer nuts are $1.70 under. Crying, Jesus. Beer nuts are $1.75, but deer nuts are under $1.
Hmm.
A Spanish magician. It's all in the delivery. A Spanish magician was doing a magic trick. He said uno, dos, and he disappeared without a tres.
That's good.
Yeah.
Not enough to make me laugh, but I appreciate the wordplay.
That was the best of them. Although, actually, this one's great, but it's a joke. I think we've done this before. I've written a song about tortillas. More of a rap, really.
Okay.
I'm actually going to go and have a wrap now because I've got some buffalo chickpeas that I'm going to eat in a wrap, and it's going to be delicious. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow with the NXT review. Love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.